Bible is truth, regardless. Amen? The truth is there. And so we might as well use it. And today, the title of the message is Fight to Protect Dignity. Fight to Protect Dignity, I'm sorry. And I just want you to know, this Fighting Fair series, I'm approaching it in this aspect. You must fight. In marriage, you must fight. But we don't fight to destroy each other. We don't fight to win an argument. When I'm talking about we must fight to protect our marriage. We must fight to protect the love that we have for one another. We must fight to protect dignity. We must fight to protect closeness. That's the reason I titled this Fight Fair or Fight in Marriage. The whole point is this. When you and I fight, I'm sorry, well, when my wife and I fight, how about that, amen? That's fair enough. When my wife and I fight, it's not necessarily to win an argument, and I'm not saying we're good at it, but it's really revealing something underneath. Whether we need to grow closer together because we might be a little bit distant, or whether we need to honor each other because right now I'm hurt, or right now she's hurt because she's told me like something 100,000,000,000 times, and it's the first time I'm hearing about it, amen? She feels unseen. It's not necessarily what she said, but she might feel unseen. Same way, on my behalf, if it ever comes down where we're arguing and I probably feel unheard or unseen because, you know, if she ever decides to talk down to me like I'm a child, you know, well, that's what this is about. It's not to pick and poke at each other, but it's to reveal, hey, when we're going to fight, we're going to fight fair in marriage. It's to protect our marriage. It's to protect the love. And I'm going to share with you three couples here that we can learn something from. And so many arguments, again, are not about the obvious issue. It's not about you haven't called me enough, or it's not about the towel on the ground. It's not about the light switch you left on. It's more than that. It's really recognizing respect. It's really about recognizing honor. But we're going to talk about Jacob and Rachel. What they had here was Jacob worked 7 years to get married to who? Rachel. But the father-in-law had a brighter idea, amen, to deceive his son-in-law and have him marry who? Leah, right? And so Leah was, the Bible said, hated, which here means loved less, okay? Whenever the Bible does that comparison about hate your family, it's love less, okay, than God. But here, Jacob loved Leah less, hated Leah, loved less, okay, than he loved Rachel. And so what this is showing is favoritism towards Leah. I'm sorry, Rachel. But that made Leah feel what? Hated. It made her feel what? Less loved. What was that? Come on. Unwanted. Neglected. Now, I get it. I mean, it's wrong. First of all, right? Polygamy is wrong. We don't have two, three, four husbands or wives, okay? It's one. But in this situation, in that culture, it was a common thing. But we could still learn from there, from their mistakes. We could still learn from that truth. And the reality is Leah did feel neglected, okay? Sometimes in marriage, you're married to someone that's going to make you feel neglected sometimes, okay? We can learn that. David and Michael, or McCall, right? McCall. Amen. Michael. David and Michael. Amen. Bless you. Amen. Their conflict over the way David worshiped. Amen. He just started stripping. Amen. I don't know what in the world he was going on. He just started taking off his clothes. And the reality is this. Was it really conflict over worship? Or was it really their prides clashing? Well, this is how you should worship. No, this is how you should worship. This is how I worship. You follow me? What was happening there? Their egos were clashing. Pride. Well, I'm right. No, I'm right. Well, woman, you worship God the way you're going to worship. I'm going to worship God the way I want to worship. So in marriage, guess what? That's real. I'm right. No, I'm right. No, you're wrong. That's not going to work. And David and Michael's relationship shows that. That's just two egos clashing. That's all that is. And then we go on. I'm not saying this is right or wrong, okay? I'm just telling you truth. This happened. It's here for us to learn. Hosea, how many of you know Hosea? Have y'all read about his wife? What did she do? What did she do? Yeah, she was a harlot. She was a little floozy, more than a floozy. She was loosey. Amen? She was loose with her morals. She was loose with her integrity, her commitment to her husband. She was, yeah, one of those. And she was a prostitute. You say, Pastor, what in the world are you trying to say? Well, sometimes you're going to marry people that have loose morals. That's why I choose to marry right. But this shows betrayal, right? Okay, let's not be in the flesh and think, oh, that's prostitution. She's sleeping with somebody else. No, look at the spiritual aspect. Let's get out of the Hollywood carnal mindset. Let's get into the biblical God lens, and let's look at Hosea was betrayed. That's what we can learn from it, okay? Yeah, they did wrong. And we're not condoning that. But I want us to understand, in marriage, you're sometimes going to feel like you're betrayed, where you tell your spouse something and they give out the information, or you are trusting in your spouse and they break your trust. Amen? Betrayal. Well, guess what? Hosea shows us that even betrayal could be repaired through respect and grace. That's what we're going to learn here, okay? And so if you're still with me, say amen. And couples, what we need to fight about this morning is dignity. When dignity is threatened, when dignity is unrecognized, God's goal is not to suppress the conflict, but it's to teach us as couples to value one another. Here's the first point I'd like to share with you. Amen. Genesis 29:31. It's recognize the need for honor. Recognize the need for honor. When you and I are fighting for dignity, can I tell you, spouses, husbands, wives, we need to recognize the need for honor. Young people, when you have a spouse, Lord willing, the ideal, ladies, husband for you, and men, the ideal lady for you, you need to understand that in marriage it's very important to recognize honor, to give them respect. Not to expect respect. Follow me? To give respect. The Bible says here in Genesis 29:31, this is the story of Jacob, right? And Rachel and Leah. And when the Lord saw, who saw it? That Leah was what? Hated. In comparison to Rachel, she was less loved. She was hated. He opened her the what? Again, I'm not saying this is right, this is wrong. It's not. This is truth. Okay? We're not talking about if he's right. We're not talking about if she's right. We're talking about truth. Can God sin? Yes or no? So this is the truth. God chose to see, even in Laban's deception, how Leah's husband, which was Jacob, how he treated his wife. And God chose to what? Yes, we look at this and say, open her womb, but to bless who? The wife that's less loved. The wife that's neglected. Am I speculating here? Am I taking it out of context? No. It says, but Rachel was what? God chose this. I want you to see that Jacob here, he's fleeing his brother Esau. And when he goes to this land, I forgot what it's called, Padan or something like that, he's alone. And he's uncertain and he's starting over. And at the well, he meets this woman, Rachel. And the scripture, again, tells us something powerful here. And then if we go to verse 29:18, I just want you to see what God did, right? This is the main scripture. 29:18, and Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for what? Thy younger who? Daughter. So again, believe me, okay? You don't have to believe me, but this wasn't marriage like it is nowadays. Amen? Something goes wrong, guess what? I'm quitting. Something goes wrong, that's it. I'm getting divorced. At least give him 7 years. No, I'm kidding. This is devotion. That's what this is. This is not just, hey, we're going to go date. Oh, let's see how you make me feel. And I grab my ear, not because something's bothering me. So are you listening? Amen? Amen. This is not wrestling either. Amen. No, the point that I'm trying to make is this is devotion. This is commitment. This man is saying, I will serve you to his father-in-law for 7 years. And Jacob labored 7 long years, and the Bible says. And then verse 20. Did I say? Yeah. You have verse 20? Oh, we'll go to 19. 19 is good. And then we'll go to 20. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. Verse 20. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to what? And this is important because it seemed like a few days, right? And then let's continue. Do you have the whole entire? No. Okay. That works. I just want you to know that on the wedding night, we don't have it here, but on the wedding night, it's in your Bibles. Amen. Praise the Lord. Laban, what does he do? He deceives Jacob, and he gives him Leah instead of Rachel, right? We understand this. When Jacob discovers this, he's mad, he's upset, but the deed and the damage is done, okay? That's the best way I could put it. Leah becomes Jacob's wife without Jacob ever choosing her, okay? And Jacob then is allowed to marry Rachel as well, but after he commits another what? Another 7 years. Think about what I just said. So it didn't work out. I'm pretty sure his fiance Rachel is pretty upset. You married my sister? I don't know. I don't know how that conversation went. Amen. I don't care. But what I do see is this. The man's like, yeah, but I'll work another 7 years for you. And she's like, oh, okay, let's go for it. I don't know how that conversation went, amen? Probably didn't go that easy, amen? Probably didn't go that well. I don't know. Maybe the men back then were, it was scarce, you know, limited amount of men that we could pick. I don't know. Maybe they were dying in the war. I have no idea, amen? But the thing is, Rachel's like, yeah, let's go for it, 7 years. So Jacob didn't choose Leah. She was given to him by deception. But then he commits another 7 years, and then in the very beginning of the household, guess what? It's built on deception. It's built on imbalance. Because he loved one wife, but he tolerated the other. By the way, that's not right. And again, in Genesis 29:31, it says, and the Lord saw Leah was hated. And I just want you to see that Jacob's affection and his attention and his emotional energy was towards Rachel. It wasn't towards Leah. And this is why the Bible says that she was hated or loved less. Can you imagine Leah lived in the same home? She shared the same husband, fulfilled the same responsibilities. But can you imagine living in a home where you're not recognized? Living in a home where you're not tolerated? Living in a home where you're not seen or heard. Many of us think we have it bad now, right? You don't talk to me. And, you know, all your missed calls or all your calls are, you know, to the person who says that he never calls you. Imagine her. She didn't even have a cell phone back then. Yeah. You understand my sarcasm here? We make a big deal out of sometimes the smallest things, and we have to understand this has been going on for years, with technology, without technology. And I'm not trying to diminish the situation, but are you in Leah's situation? Are you in Leah's situation, yes or no? Is this the Bible, yes or no? Is this the truth in the Word of God, yes or no? Do whatever you want with it, but I want you to understand Leah was actually living in a home, not only where she was sharing her husband, but she wasn't recognized. She wasn't the one woman in the household. She wasn't even tolerated. Think about that. Leah was fighting Jacob. I'm sorry. Leah wasn't just fighting Jacob. I'm sorry. She wasn't just arguing over money. She wasn't just arguing over how to raise the kids. She was just demanding his attention. Her conflict, this is the point I'm trying to make, is this. It was internal and it was invisible. Now, you say, Pastor, how does that apply to us? Well, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes spouses, we think, well, do I really matter? Sometimes we think, why am I not enough? Sometimes we might think, why does my husband's heart belong somewhere else? This is what Leah's going through. We don't have to experience the exact same thing, the same circumstances, to experience the emotion that this woman is going through. She felt invisible. She felt unseen. And guess what God says? He sees this spouse. He sees how Jacob is treating his wife. And I love this, Genesis 29:31. And the Lord saw that Leah was hated. And he opened her womb. What did he do? He blessed her. Young ladies, amen. Married couples, amen. Wives, if you ever are in a situation where you feel this way, not that you're going through exact same thing that Leah's going through, but if you feel this way, understand, God's watching. God sees you. Your husband might neglect you, but God doesn't. And here's the point that I am making. When you feel a way and you feel invisible and you feel like you matter to no one, the person that you love the most, I want you to understand this. God wants you to recognize that he sees you. Now, I didn't get all the verses here, but the children, right, that Jacob and Leah had, they were what? Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah. These are the children that Leah had. Now, I didn't get the scripture, but notice this. God opened her womb. He blessed her, right? So when Leah was boring these kids, or I'm sorry, having these kids, she was crying for recognition. Rachel could not have children. Leah could. And every time that Leah was having a child, it was a cry of, can you see me? Do I matter now? Am I still invisible? With Reuben, she says, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. What is she crying for? Love. Do you see me, Jacob? Simeon, the Lord hath heard that I was hated. What is she talking about? Hey, my husband loves me less. My God has heard that cry. These are the cries that she's having with these boys. For Levi, now this time will my husband be joined unto me. She's thinking, this is the one. Now after I've given him three children, three man-child, now he will love me. And for Judah, now will I praise the Lord. Man, folks, I don't think we have it as bad as these women do. Amen? But praise the Lord that he gives us these examples, because each birth reveals Leah's heart. Maybe now he'll see me. This is not just about having children or not. This is an emotional story. This is Leah not asking for a crown. She wasn't asking to be Rachel. She was asking to be seen. That's all. She was tired of being invisible. She was tired of just living in a life and just existing and just being tolerated. And my friends, can I tell you something? Sometimes we feel like that, don't we? We're tired of this world. We love people that don't love us back. And if you're in ministry or you do any type of ministry, your heart will be broken. But you don't stop doing right because you're not recognized for your work. You don't stop doing right because you don't feel like you're seen. You feel that you're invisible. Can I tell you something? God sees you. Hey, Leah, God sees you. God sees you. And can I tell you something? That's the most important person that could see us, that could even recognize us, that could say, good job. Hey, way to go. You didn't stop. Good job. Good job not quitting on your children. Hey, mother, good job for praying for your kids that God would get that wayward kid back to you. Good job. Hey, wife, good job. You still stuck with it. You still did what's right. Hey, good job for trusting in God that He will direct your path. Hey, good job. I see what you're doing. Amen? And can I say something? Even though man might not recognize your effort and everything you put into it, can I tell you and remind you, that's not why we serve God this morning. Amen? That's not why we serve God. I will tell you this, God will bring blessing upon your life and He will reveal how important you are to Him. But you, like Leah, must understand, even though we're invisible to man, we're visible to God. This story exposes many truths that many couples go through that they rarely say out loud. It's the hidden conflict of marriage, and it's often emotional invisibility. Hey, do you love me? Hey, do I still matter to you? Amen? One spouse may feel unnoticed. The other spouse may feel taken for granted. One spouse may feel valued or not valued for what they do. But here's the thing. God values you for who you are. Our God loves us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He thought you were worth dying for. He said, Pastor, even the way I am, not perfect, yeah. Even the way you are, just the way you are. He thought you were worth dying for. Why can't you take that with you? Huh? Why can't we do that? Hey, do you see me? Do I matter to you, Pastor? Am I not appreciated? Can I tell you something? Doesn't matter. I'm not trying to diminish your emotions. I'm trying to tell you, direct your emotions to the one that matters, God. Imagine how I would be, or what kind of pastor I would be, probably bipolar, amen, emotionally distressed, when if I depend on your performance, if I depended on your performance equates your love for me. We did a couple's dinner thing, and I understand people have actual reasons why they can't make it. But we put these things on, not just so I can spend money, amen? Or the church can spend money, amen? I don't know what's going on with this. But we do it to provide an opportunity to help you grow. That's the goal here. It's a place for everyone to know Christ, even in marriage. How would I have felt if, and by the way, it was a good turnout. Amen. Praise the Lord. 10 couples. But do you know that when I do the math, there's 34 couples in this church? 34 couples. 34 times 2? Correct, 68. Now here's the thing. We had 20 people. I don't know what is it? Huh? The speaker? Can you turn that, mama, to your mom? Maybe a sign from the Lord, amen. Turn. Still? Should be good. Testing 1, 2. But let's say if I just go based off of how many people show up to church or how many people show up to an activity, you know who would be the most discouraged person in this room? Not you. Me. My wife. If we put something on, it's for people to go. It's for people to participate. Listen, it's kind of like that master that went, sent out the invitation, and the people gave excuses. Oh, I can't go because of this. I can't go because of that, right? I just got married. I just bought oxen. I just bought a piece of property.
What did he do? He's like, well, if the people that I invited don't want to come, guess what I should do? Invite others, right? My point that I'm trying to make is this, folks. I can't stop and measure my affection and my love and my emotional stability to your performance, my friends. Follow me? Even though I might feel invisible at times, even though I might feel, hey, they just tolerate me, or I don't matter. It's not about me, but I'm just trying to explain to you this is how it works. I still need to do right as Leah to understand this truth. God recognizes us. God sees what we're doing. And at the end of the day, my friends, I don't do it for show. I don't do it for who comes and who doesn't come. At the end of the day, we still need to do what's right. We still need to plan these events. We still need to provide a way for you to serve God. Amen? Amen. We still need to do what's right. And Leah cried out to God. She didn't curse God. She was a submissive wife to Jacob. She didn't cheat on Jacob. And guess what God did? What did he do? He blessed her. See, some of us, the loudest fights in marriage come from this, the quietest wounds. Some of us carry these wounds. Again, Leah never stood up and yelled, hey, my heart's breaking, right? But you know what Jacob couldn't stop doing? He couldn't stop loving Rachel. He couldn't stop recognizing Leah. He didn't recognize. He couldn't stop failing to recognize Leah. That's the right way to say it. But this is the neat thing that I enjoy about the Bible. God stepped in. God recognized that Leah felt that way. And church, can I say this? Your spouse doesn't need just your presence. They need your acknowledgement. It's not just enough that you show up to a house and sleep on the same bed or sit on the same couch or sit around the same table. They need acknowledgement. They need to know that you're present. Because again, fights are not always about anger. Sometimes it's about a heart crying out saying, hey, can you please see me? You say, Pastor, you're just soft. Well, if you grew up where I grew up, you would say that is not true. Amen? So I'm telling you, if I sound soft, it's because the Bible here is showing me we need to recognize the need for honor. People don't understand what respect is nowadays at all. Amen? It's almost like young people don't recognize what do you call those rotary phones? Yeah, it's like people don't recognize it. The truth is, kids, there are such things as rotary phones. Amen? Before touchscreen phones, there are these things called rotary phones. It doesn't change the truth. You said, Pastor, that's a bad illustration, but it's a good point. The reason why some people don't know of that is because they don't know. Get into the scripture to know that there is a need to recognize honor. Here's a woman that felt invisible. She didn't do anything wrong. She was committed. And can I tell you something? A wife that organizes the family calendar, manages the kids, plans the meals, and for the husband to think it's normal, again, I'm not preaching against the husbands. I mean, I'm a husband, amen? But I want us to understand, if we don't acknowledge that, if we don't consider that, her effort, I'm going to tell you what happens. Conflict will arise. Young men, old men, middle-aged men, I'm telling you, conflict will arise. Why? If you just miss the smallest appointment, the fight's not really about that appointment. The fight is really about, you just don't care what I do. I set the appointment. I told you of the calendar, the date. I told you the time. We're making them feel unseen. It's important we recognize the need for honor, to honor what they do. A simple thank you helps. Amen? Here's the second point. Are you still with me? Say amen. Protect dignity through respect. Well, it's kind of the same, but this is protecting dignity. Here, 2 Samuel 6:20, the Bible says, then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. Amen. Brother, is that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to 2 Samuel because I just want to make sure I get that one right. Amen. 2 Samuel. It's okay. 2 Samuel. It might be right. It's just I put it wrong in my notes maybe. 2 Samuel 6. It's right. I just put it wrong in my notes, okay? Yeah. It says, then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servant, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. Yeah, I just put the wrong notes here. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to see Michal here is criticizing David for dancing, you know, before God, before Israel, before the Lord in his worship. And she's seeing his actions as undignified, you know, without dignity, right? So what does David do, right? He responds boldly. And what he's trying to do is prioritize God's glory, right? He's trying to say, I did it for God. He's not saying, look, I didn't do it so people can watch me take this off, or he's not talking about his pride, right? He didn't say I was trying to get these women's attention or anything like that. He was saying, I did it for the Lord. Now, again, I'm not trying to base this off of right or wrong. It's just what's written here in the scripture. I'm going to turn this off. Testing, one, two. Thank you, brother. And so I want you to see that the conflict here between Michal and David involves respect. She felt disrespected. He felt disrespected. Egos, right? And just really it comes down to having a different perspective. Again, it's not about right and wrong. If you do it about right or wrong, then you're making it about winning the argument, not winning your marriage. Here, I want us to understand that couples must respect each other's differences. David here should have taken into account that Michal felt that way. Michal should have probably taken into account, you know, maybe it wasn't his intention to do that. He actually was moved by the Lord, even though it was dumb. I mean, the man probably didn't think about it. I don't know. But what they didn't do, they didn't protect each other's dignity. What they didn't do, they didn't speak to each other with respect. What they didn't do, they didn't find a way to honor each other during this disagreement. And so the fight here is basically saying, my dignity, my voice, is it heard? No. You know what was heard? Their egos, their pride. If they would have had respect for each other, it would have prevented fights. It would prevent it damaging their intimacy. And can I tell you, spouses, when you argue how to discipline your children, when you argue about what to wear to an event, how to handle family issues, oftentimes the issue is not about that. It's about, do you feel respected and do you feel heard? That's really what it's about. It's not about the dress. It's about, hey, do I feel respected? Do I feel heard? Do you think this looks good on me? Do you think it doesn't look good on me? Do you think, I don't know, this makes me look, amen, amen, praise the Lord, like I have more hair, amen? Fighting without respect, what happens, it escalates anger, right? So when tensions rise, here's the truth. It's very difficult to do. You need to pause. Each and every one of us need to do that. Men, I'm not preaching at us necessarily. I'm preaching for us, but most of the time, we struggle with this. We are men. And
I don't have to define what a man is, but we struggle with our temperament at times. Now, some men have better control over it than others, but we're just not real good at taking a pause, thinking about what we're about to say. Instead of protecting our dignity, we're going to win the argument. I'm right. You're wrong. And however that, whatever form that looks like. But it's really important that we speak in calmness. It's very important that we are, empathetic, you know, put ourselves in their shoes. And at the end of the day, it's okay to disagree. But you can agreeably disagree. We don't always have to fight it out. So this is what it looks like, okay? If my wife and I were in an argument and she has something to say, I do this a lot. Amen? So I'm not perfect at it. Amen? So you can evaluate me and then, you know, take notes and say this is what not to do. Amen? I like to interrupt. When my wife is talking and she has a point to make, I like to interrupt her. Not because I don't want to listen to her, but for me, it's like, hey, look, this is simple. I can fix it. Bam, 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 bam. Let me tell you what it is. Here's the formula, and this is the solution. This is what it's going to equate. Well, she doesn't need that. Because at the end of the day, what am I not doing? I'm not listening. It takes me a while. Amen. I'm not listening because I'm what? Busy what? Interrupting. That's what it looks like. You know, take that pause. Take that breather. And say, you know what? Go ahead and talk. Now, you say, Pastor, why is that sigh? Because most of the time, as a man, I just don't want to hear it. I really don't. That's the truth. Doesn't mean I have to have a good attitude about it, but I do know that I need to do what's right. And I need to make her feel heard in the sense of maybe what she has to say, actually, I'm not going to say it's right, but actually can help the situation, amen, that we're talking about. What I don't want to do is belittle her. What I do not want to come across as someone that's demeaning and condescending. You know, what you have to say doesn't matter. Men, we come across like that a lot. Is that fair to say? No? Okay, amen. I don't want to lose the crowd, but it's the truth. I'm just talking about truth, not right and wrong. We come across like that a lot of times because we interrupt, and it doesn't matter what they say. It's a woman. A woman's not going to tell me what to do. I get it, man. My mom told me what to do, so I guess it didn't click for me. But here's the thing that we do want to do. We want to validate their emotions before we respond. Is it true what they're saying? We had a situation yesterday, and I know this is not about marriage. We're going to go to the third point. Fight fair and restore grace. Okay, we got to the third point. Yesterday, we had this couple's dinner. Praise the Lord, Saltgrass, you know, they took care of it. But we go in there, and there was five men there. They had been there from 11 to 4. And I'm probably not going to explain the situation the right way. But just so you understand, we reserved the room at 4, from 4 to 6. That room was for Victory Baptist Church and their couples activity. And my wife had called, scheduled, appreciate everything she does. She doesn't get recognized for it. Good job, babe. But I didn't know that we had an hour or what was it? We had the opportunity to come in and decorate if needed an hour early. We could come in, set up the tables, whatever we needed to do for that day. So we did. We showed up early, and there were 5 men that were in that room, in that whole entire room. And so once we found out, you know, we addressed the situation, talked to, I guess it was first the waitress. The waitress, my wife explained, hey, look, we have this room rented out, and we were given permission to come in early. And now these men are there. We're about to have an activity. I don't want to make a long story long, but you need to get some context. The waitress went to address these men. The men said, well, we reserved this room, and, you know, we get it. They're going to come at 4. We'll leave at 4. Well, the purpose for us to show up early is to set things up. It's to get things ready. Amen? So, praise the Lord, I married a strong woman. Amen? Some men, for some reason, are intimidated by strong women. Okay. I don't know why. Amen? But they are. I am more pacifist. I avoid controversy because of the way I grew up. But
the dog comes out if I need to. It didn't need to. At that point, we're over there. We're trying to move the tables. The men are still sitting there. I guess they're cussing up a storm. They're drinking. There's a boy with them. And I'm more of, okay, let's just work together, you know. That's not real. Let's just work together. It's a church event. It's our very first couples activity. We're going to make this happen. Well, my wife, praise the Lord, doesn't work together or work well, amen, with these men. She straight up, I approached them and I said, hey, sir, listen, I know that you said you're going to leave or whatnot, but we reserved this room and we need this room so we can move the table. Well, the one guy said something about, we scheduled this, this, and this, and that, okay? So they probably overlapped, and it's Saltgrass's fault. Then my wife is like, well, sir, it doesn't matter. This is a church event, and that's not going to happen. I'm like, okay, yeah. Yeah, you know, gave me some backbone, amen? No, here's the thing. I try to de-escalate a situation because I know I have power behind me, okay? But then if that escalates, you're going to mess around and turn me into the old me. And that's what you don't want to see. Tables flying and chairs flying. Amen. You don't want to see the old me. So I had to suppress that. Amen. But praise the Lord, my wife, strong woman, she goes, well, that doesn't matter. This is a church event and we got to get this done. Thank you, babe. And the guy's like, well, we will get done in 27 minutes. Okay. To some of us, it doesn't mean anything, right? But ladies, how does that sound to you? They didn't address me after that. They addressed my wife and said, well, we'll be leaving here at 27 minutes. What does that sound like that? I mean, to you, they're just words. Degrading. Is that how you would feel? Well, that's what men, huh?
Kind of like
a little bit more, but yeah. For men, we'll be like, No. That's what insecure men do. We twist it. Woman, you don't tell me what to do. Let me put you in your place. Real strong men, we don't have to do that. Amen? We don't have to do that. We don't have to degrade or belittle a woman. Here's the thing about this. You got to protect the dignity with grace. That man felt like this woman, I don't know who she thinks she is, going to tell me what to do. We'll leave in 27 minutes. So I didn't want the old Zeke to come out. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm like, oh, man. So what I did, you said, Pastor, did you throw a table? No. Praise the Lord. My wife's like, it's okay. She walked away. She did what she did. Amen. Talked to the manager. Make long story short, they didn't even reserve the room. They had to stay there till 11 o'clock, and they were going to leave till 4. Now, here's the point that I'm trying to make. Not just the audacity, but sometimes, men, we have these mechanisms, and I'm not saying you have to turn soft. True man that has security about himself or is secure about himself does not have to let a woman know who he is or who he thinks he is and try to make or put her in her place. You follow me? There's no need for that. There's really no need for that. There's a way that we can talk. Now, I do understand some women try to talk down to men too. Is that fair? Okay, that's fair, right? It's fair. But what I'm saying is when you're secure about protecting dignity with grace, there's no need for that. Which leads me to fight fair and restore grace. Folks, when we're married with our spouse, with our married person, I know I'm going over here, and so I'm going to drop this. Hosea was someone that was betrayed. And the Bible here, when you do the reading on it, man, it shows you how he was able to restore his marriage with a woman that was cheating on him physically with other men. But it goes deeper than that. Imagine this man who's a man of God, how he was treated, every man knowing that his wife was that. Every woman knowing that his wife was that. He said, Pastor, his ministry was done. First of all, it's God's ministry. But second of all, it shows us here, guess what? Something can be restored even after it's been betrayed. You follow me? That's what marriage is about. We need to fight for dignity. Fight for that, young people. Fight for dignity. And if you don't know what it is, Google it. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Bow your head. Close your eyes. Amen. I went over, so I'll make this quick.